It's that time in Spain where we listen to some experts and Blevins Franks. And here's a subject we haven't covered in a while, Bill, UK inheritance tax. So let's find out what's happening with this tax these days and what advice you and Brett Hansen can give to our listeners. But before we start, Bill, how are you?
Yeah, very good indeed, thank you, Howard. I hope that you are too. As usual, busy week, but then I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, indeed. Well, what caught your eye in the news this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a busy week in Spain, but it's also been a pretty hectic week internationally. The Delta coronavirus that has, frankly, now swept the UK as the most dominant of the virus strains that we've had so far, is now appearing across continental Europe, in Portugal, and in clusters across Portugal, suffering badly, especially in the Lisbon and Albufeira areas, but also in clusters across Germany, France and Spain. Indeed, public health researchers have said that they believe the Delta variant of coronavirus, which was, of course, first identified in India, will become the most dominant strain in Spain within the next month, which is somewhat disconcerting. Already in Catalonia, a fifth of all new cases correspond to the Delta variant, which suggests perhaps that by the middle of July, the Delta variant will be, as they say, dominant. What is of some concern to me is that there is an increased level of Delta variant called the Delta Plus, again, first identified in India, but now confirmed prevalent in areas within the UK. It's under investigation in the UK, as that Delta variant is still the most common in the UK, making up around 99% of reported COVID cases. So, you know, this virus is not going away anytime soon, sadly. We all need to continue to take action to protect ourselves and others, I guess. Of course, there was quite a lot of hoo-ha from Catalonians, given that Pedro Sanchez decided, some would say cynically, to prop up his own government, to enter into the spirit of forgiveness and forgive those people who protested against the government and who were sent to jail. He believes that the controversial, and it is controversial, many of the Catalonians don't think that they should have gone to jail in the first place, but he believes he's opting for reconciliation to pave the way, if you like, for perhaps more sensible negotiations in the future. We shall see. This is another issue that I'm afraid has been on the back burner, front burner for so long that it probably isn't going to go away anytime soon. Internationally, I was surprised to learn that the Russians claim to have fired warning shots across the bow of a British destroyer off the coast of Crimea, whereas the UK's Ministry of Defence denied that the vessel had been directly targeted. I think these were simply exhibitions of power. One hopes that the world is not entering into another tinderbox Cold War issue with the Soviet, with Russia. It's also true, of course, that we had the election of the hardliner Ebrahim Raisi, who handily won the rather half-democratic election in Iran, a man who has a reputation for being a pretty tough guy and who, it seems, isn't really prepared to enter into what you might describe as realistic negotiations to try and bring the sanctions against Iran to a halt. And finally, I was rather buoyed on a light note when I opened the newspaper in the middle of last week to find that there was a headline that said Sterling rises for England, when I suddenly thought, gosh, that's jolly good. The currency is going into the ascendancy, only to realise that it was a report on the goal scored by Raheem Sterling, which scored the winning goal and took them through as the top team in their group to the final 16 tournament in the Euros.
I tell you, Bill, it's nice we got some sport back, isn't it, with everything else that's going on?
Yeah, sure it is. I mean, the world is, I think the world is in a very volatile place in many areas today. And frankly, you know, any distraction that gives us a bit of relief from the possible consequences of some of these things that are going on is, you know, welcome.
Well, back to inheritance tax. You've mentioned in the past that many people consider this is an unfair tax. Have sentiments changed at all?
I don't think so. I mean, if I summarise it in my own way, and forgive me for being trite, One starts one's working life off paying income tax. If you're lucky enough to accumulate what's left after income tax and VAT and all the other ancillary subordinate taxes, you might end up with some cash in which you decide to make investments. If you make money in those investments, generally speaking, unless, of course, you've taken very sensible advice from Blevins Franks, you end up paying capital gains tax on disposals in most parts of the world. You're then left with the net result of your prudence. You accumulate that wealth over life in the hope that you can support yourself in retirement without depending on the state. You use your assets to produce income, or you spend capital. And then again, at the end of the life, if you really are lucky to have anything left, then you're going to find yourself a victim of a tax on your estate at the point of your death. And UK inheritance tax has become, if you like, an easy tax to collect. And of course, we have an issue with the replenishing of the economic stores by the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Inheritance tax has not improved its tax-free allowance for some time. There were some notional improvements introduced which really don't apply to that many people. Now, UK inheritance tax, of course, is payable on the value of an individual's estate who's passed away above a threshold of around £325,000. Now, that levy above that rate, above that tax-free allowance, is set at 40% with, you know, lots of people clearly at that level looking for ways of avoiding inheritance tax if they can. Now, I've said this before, in the tax planning world, inheritance tax and even succession tax in Spain to a large degree are often described as voluntary taxes, because there are a number of courses of action you can take to eliminate or reduce inheritance tax down to seriously low levels. And what I mean by voluntary tax is that if you don't take action during your lifetime to arrange your affairs in such a way that you avoid the taxman putting his the largest shovel into your stores, you are in effect volunteering to pay inheritance tax. And that money goes into what I would describe as the grey coffers of government, as opposed to being transferred to your spouse, your children and other beneficiaries. And even when it passes to them, of course, those funds go into the economy, and perhaps often in a much more efficient way than passing money to government with current spending plans. But we've got a situation right now where if you are a domicile of the UK, and we don't have time to go into the details of that, but I would suggest that more than 60 to 70% of British expatriates who have adopted Spain as their long-term home still retain enough connections, if I can call it that, to the UK to be classified as a domicile. And if you are, then inheritance tax in the UK is based upon your domicile status, and it's also chargeable on any assets that you have, even if you are a non-domicile. Those assets located in the UK still fall liable to UK inheritance tax. So we have had massive property price increases in the UK, which has raised the level of value to the point at which many people have gone into a very high level of value in their property, occasioning high potential charges to inheritance tax. And the simple thing is, you need to plan for those tax charges in advance as early as possible to make sure that you do not fall victim to a tax that you can readily and rather easily avoid, or as I say, reduce to very, very low levels. I mean, if you are looking at the moment of how you might reduce your inheritance tax, it's a good idea to make arrangements to talk to the experts at Blevins Franks and the back office of tax specialists who are based in London to ensure that the way in which your affairs are structured is to your best advantage.
How does the UK version of inheritance tax compare to other countries?
That is quite a good question, because, frankly, just to repeat, as the pandemic has put pressure on public finances, the UK has a rather, in international terms, a quirky inheritance tax system. And it has, I have to say, come under some international scrutiny. the arguments that have been given incredible new power by the COVID pandemic and the need to raise more tax to shore up public finances once the recovery is secure. And it seems to me that for now, the UK Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, is playing his cards close to his chest on where any new levies or any lack of increase in allowances, tax-free allowances, will take place. But there are plenty of experts who are recommending looking at not only IHT and keeping the allowances where they are to enable the greater collection of tax. The levy of tax taken from inheritance tax has increased exponentially year on year for the last few years. But they're now also talking about, and you probably have read this, Howard, taxing wealthier individuals to a greater extent. Now, the UK and its system of inheritance tax stands out quite head and shoulders, if you like, above the pack of the 36 OECD countries. Recently reported by the OECD, 24 of those countries levy tax on wealth transfers, including the UK. The rest, including Canada, Australia, Israel and New Zealand, they don't actually do that. Now, the UK is among only three countries around the world, along with Denmark and the United States, that actually apply taxes to the estate of deceased donors. That is to say that if you give money away, you, the donor, your estate is taxed as opposed to the recipient, whereas in all the other countries outside of those three, the tax is based upon the recipient and the amount they receive, which seems a much fairer way of doing it, because if you are the donor, you're also paying the tax for the person receiving the money rather than them paying it. Now, the UK is also in the minority of countries applying a flat rate charge to inheritance tax. I mean, 15 of those countries in the OECD have what you would describe as progressive rates. They start low down the scale, and that's true of Spain, and where the tax rate then rises with the value of the inheritance up to 82%, I have to say, in Spain, depending on where you're planning to transfer your assets. Now, that is a ridiculously intrusive rate of tax. It's only paid at the final end of your beneficial class, to people you aren't related to. It depends on how much wealth they have already. But you can see that when scale rates go up to 82%, you do need to deal with some planning, especially if you consider yourself a non-domicile and you are a resident of Spain. You will find yourself in the process of trying to sort out how much tax you're likely to pay in Spain, which, as I say, can be avoided or reduced. And there's also two aspects to the issue in Spain. One is that there is a succession tax law. You have to follow the law in whom you pass your assets to, with a few exceptions. And once you've met the requirements of the law, you can then sit down and calculate who you're going to leave your money to, and by reference to the scale rates, then work out quite what rate of tax you're going to get attacked for. Now, as I say, this is a voluntary tax, in my opinion, to a large extent. You can reduce the implications of it by simply planning in advance.
What do you think the future holds for this tax?
Well, I've been in the business of tax planning, especially for expatriates, all my working life. And I don't think I've ever been more concerned about the future of inheritance tax, because the Chancellor recently announced, the UK Chancellor, that there would be a freeze to the nil rate band, and they haven't now moved since April 2000. They haven't moved for nearly 10 years, apart from, as I say, some modest improvements which don't really apply to many people. So more and more people, expatriates who are still classified as domiciles of the UK, and until you've gone through the exercise of determining where you're domiciled, you can't be sure that you're not domiciled. Go to Blevins Franks, talk to them and see if they can create a situation where you're outside of the range of domicile, because in those circumstances you will have removed yourself completely from UK inheritance tax. But it's true, I think, that unless people take action, more and more people are going to have to confront the reality of paying inheritance tax. The HMRC of the UK showed that receipts last year went up 5 billion, which was 2 billion higher than the same period the previous year. That's a 40% increase. It is an easy tax to collect. You're not there to fight your case. You're leaving that job to your beneficiaries, and that's why you need to plan in advance. I mean, IHT, in summary, is a seriously easy earner for the Treasury, which could, I think, be increased in the manner in which it collects tax. It's politically insensitive. You're collecting it from the wealthy, people believe, and the vast majority of the voting public don't have a problem with that. So if you fear that you may end up your life with leaving assets that will be subject to inheritance tax that deny your family and your beneficiaries the use of those monies, then you need to sit down and talk to the experts at Blevins Franks about how you might avoid the worst implications of this tax, both in the UK and in Spain.
Thank you, Bill. Well, turning to Brett Hanson now, what are the latest tax rates and allowances for IHT?
Hello, Howard. So, as Bill said, UK inheritance tax is payable on the value of the estate of the person who has passed away, and the allowance before tax is payable is £325,000. Now, because UK inheritance tax is not payable when assets pass to a surviving spouse or civil partner, it is possible for spouses and civil partners to transfer any of their unused allowance, i.e. this £325,000, to each other. This means that if, for example, a husband and wife leaves all of their assets to one another and then to their children, there will not be any UK inheritance tax payable until they have both passed away. And once they have both died and the estate is for the children, the allowance or threshold before any tax will be payable will be £650,000, i.e. two times the £325,000 allowance. There is also an additional allowance, referred to as the residence nil rate band, of £175,000 per person. But this is only applicable when passing on a residence or the main home direct to descendants, and this allowance reduces on a sliding scale if the estate is above £2 million. As for the rate of tax applicable, as Bill said, this is currently a flat rate of 40% on anything above the allowances I've just described.
Did the 2021 UK budget introduce any changes?
I'm afraid, Howard, that the only change the Chancellor made about UK inheritance tax was that he announced a freeze on the £325,000 allowance until April 2026. So, if property and asset prices continue to increase over the next few years, then more and more people will have to confront the reality of paying UK inheritance tax. To put this into perspective, the UK Treasury collected around £5.2 billion in inheritance taxes in the 2019 to 2020 tax year. And with this latest freeze on the allowance, they expect to generate an additional £15 million next year, increasing to a further £445 million by 2026.
Two British expatriates living long-term in Spain remain liable for this tax. They are liable for Spanish succession tax, after all.
That's a good question. And the answer is, regardless of their liability to Spanish inheritance tax, the entire estate of a British expatriate living long-term in Spain will remain liable to UK inheritance tax if they are still regarded by the UK's HM Revenue and Customs as being a UK domicile, regardless of where their assets are. Furthermore, if a British expatriate living long-term in Spain has shed their UK domicile status but retains UK assets, then these UK assets will still remain liable to UK inheritance tax. And when it comes to shedding one's UK domicile, this is a complex area of law, particularly for inheritance tax purposes. It is not simply a case of obtaining residency and living and paying tax here in Spain. And given that it is usually only after your death that any claim to have acquired a non-UK domicile status is made by your family inheriting your assets, I would say it is prudent to take special advice on this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, domicile's always been a bit of a hot potato, I think. How do you help your clients avoid or mitigate these inheritance taxes for their families?
Well, Howard, we have in-house tax experts in London who specialise in UK domicile law and UK inheritance tax. And so we can assess a client's domicile status, and if it is thought that they are still a UK domicile, we can advise them on what steps they can take to lose this status. We can also calculate what the UK inheritance tax liabilities are likely to be on death and provide solutions to minimise this tax, which could be particularly relevant to those clients who do not want to or are unable to lose their UK domicile status. As we are also cross-border tax specialists and have a local presence in Spain, we can also calculate our clients and their beneficiaries' Spanish inheritance tax liabilities, advise them on how their UK inheritance tax will interact with the local Spanish inheritance taxes for both of them and their loved ones, and provide solutions to also minimise these taxes, whilst also taking into account the Spanish succession laws Bill briefly referred to earlier.
Well, thank you, Brett. How can people get in touch?
Well, Howard, our website is blevinsfranks.com, and from this website, your listeners can also find out more information about us and access our articles, tax guides with this year's tax rates, podcasts and videos.
And the local advisors as well.
That's right. And so there are details there. So if you would like to contact them, you'll be able to do that from the website.
Many thanks. We'll talk again very shortly, I'm sure.
Thanks, Howard. Look forward to it. Bye for now.